want to just remind you that Alpha is just 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from Tuesday evening, we begin our Alpha series. And we have in the back table some sign-up sheets. We still need people to help out with meals and perhaps table hosts and co-hosts for tables. We're going to do some training just the week before. So if that's part of where you feel like you could be involved, that would be fantastic. But more importantly than that is that these 2 weeks, this is the time for us actually to do the invitations that we've been talking about. Last week, we introduced you to these invitation cards, and I said that there was a QR code on there and that you could invite the person to check out Alpha. You're not asking them to attend right away. You're just saying, hey, would you check this out? So the QR code leads them to that. So then we also said you could follow up in a couple of days. So let's say you follow up now and they say, yes, I am interested. What do you do with that? Tell them QR code again. And at the bottom of there, there's just an email link that you can just email the church and just say, hey, I'm interested in coming. That's all you have to do. We're not going to use their emails for anything else. They won't get on any distribution lists. All that kind of stuff is just a very simple communication with Carrie. And I want to remind you, friends, that this, what we're talking about around, this is why we exist as the church. For people who are outside the church. That's why the church exists, for the people in our everyday lives. And last year when we hosted Alpha, we encouraged you to invite people. And I know it was really hard because we didn't really know what we were inviting people to. And I, too, was very tentative last year. But this year, we've worked to equip you to invite people, not just ask you to do it, but to equip you to do it. And last week, we had invite cards on all the tables. And I know how many invite cards we started with. And then at the end of last week, I gathered them all up, and I know how many invite cards have been taken. And I was thrilled that about 70 invite cards were taken, 70. And that's basically, on average, about one for every adult in the church. And that's fantastic. So what I want to do this morning is I want you to think about the person that you had on your mind when you took an invite card. Okay? The person that you put on that red card, the names that are on there. And let's just take a moment to pray for them right now. Father, we pray for these people in our lives that we want to come to know you. Thank you for equipping this church, for showing us the wonderful tool that Alpha is, and for the team that we have to be able to host it. But God, this is about the people that have never come. And so we pray that you would give us courage this week to make the ask, to make the invite, to encourage our friends and our neighbors to be a part of this. God, this is why we exist. We know that you have called us to make followers of Jesus out of the people that are not yet followers of Jesus. And so we ask for your favor as we step out in boldness this week. Amen. All right. Moving on in our series of being wholehearted followers of Christ. A number of years ago, Melissa and I we're up in the Okanagan. We spent some time there. I was speaking at a camp for a week of the summer, and we took one of our afternoons off, and we went to the Mount Boucherie Estate Winery in West Kelowna. Anyone else been to that particular winery? Come on, you can admit it. It's okay. We're allowed to go to wineries. Mount Boucherie. It's in West Kelowna, just above Green Bay Camp on the west side of the lake. Anyways, I grew up at Green Bay Camp, and we always used to hike up the hill with the students, just like, you know, they were talking about the camps and stuff. I worked at a summer camp, and we would hike up this mountain, Mount Boucherie. Well, now there's a winery there, and I thought, I've got to go and see this thing. So Melissa and I went to the winery. We'd never been to a winery. We've never done a wine tasting or anything like that, so I was a little bit intimidated, and I frankly didn't know what to expect. But we signed up, and we went in, and we had a tour of the facilities, which was really amazing. I really enjoyed it, learned a lot. And then at the end of the tour, we entered what is called the tasting room. And then I got a little bit nervous. But we were given a brief introduction on the etiquette of wine tasting so that we could all do this together. And here's what I learned. First of all, you hold the glass by the stem, not the bowl, because you don't want your body temperature to warm up the wine. It's at a perfect temperature, and so you hold it by the stem. Second thing is, you look at the clarity. You put it up to the light. And so you're looking for the color, the clarity, and something that they call the legs. And if you know what that is, great. If not, I'm not going to tell you. The next thing you do is you swirl the wine in the glass to aerate it. You want some air to get in there, and then you sniff the bouquet. Okay, so now you're beginning to sense, your senses are being engaged with the wine. Then you take a sip, and this part I didn't know, but you take a sip and you swirl it around in your mouth so that every part of your mouth is in contact with the wine, okay? And then you can either spit it out or swallow it. That's totally up to you. But it is the second sip that constitutes the wine tasting, because now your mouth is used to it, and now you can actually taste the wine, okay? Well, this is where they lost me. The host started talking about the nuances of the flavor, the oakiness, the buttery texture, and I thought, man, I was lost. I couldn't pick up any of this stuff, and I was really glad that they didn't ask me to describe what I was experiencing at the time, because I had no language for it, to be quite candid with you. Then we moved on to a second variety of wine, so you taste, you know, two or three wines while you're there. And again, swirl, look, taste, aerate, all these things. And then they started talking about different flavors, different nuances. And I thought, I clearly do not know how to do this. I clearly do not have a discerning palate. But what I could do was I could tell the difference between the first wine and the second wine. And I was actually pretty proud of myself because I didn't even know I had that much discernment in me. But it became very obvious to me at that point that this was my very first step towards developing what's called a discerning palate. And I knew right away that if I was going to develop a discerning palate, it would have to be through practice. You actually have to practice discernment of wine. And it would take time, and it would take many different experiences with a wide variety of wines so that you know the difference between the two. And so you're fine-tuning your palate all along the way. Now, anybody, even me, could hold a glass by the stem and swirl it and sniff it and taste it. Anybody could do that. But to develop a discerning palate, you actually have to care. You have to care about wine. You have to care enough to actually pay attention to the really subtle nuances. And then you have to do it over and over again. And eventually, you begin to cultivate not only the practices of discernment, but the language of discernment, the experience of discernment. And that's exactly what we're talking about for the next 4 weeks. There's an etiquette of discerning. There are things that absolutely anybody can do. But to become discerning is to actually care about what you're discerning, to pay attention to the subtleties of the Spirit, to the nuances of Scripture, and over time, to begin to speak the language of discernment and to actually practice spiritual discernment. And so rather than developing a discerning palate, we're talking about developing a discerning heart. Ernest Larkin has said this: discernment in its fullness takes a practiced heart, fine-tuned to hear the word of God, and the single-mindedness to follow that word in love. It's truly a gift from God, but not one that's dropped from the skies and fully formed. It is a gift cultivated by a prayerful life and the search for self-knowledge. How do you discern? What do you taste in the scriptures? And so there are four practices of the etiquette of discerning that we're going to talk about over the next number of months. These practices, again, like holding a wine glass by the stem, they're things that anybody can do. In fact, I would suggest that most of you already do these things. But developing spiritual discernment brings a new level of attention. It introduces us to the nuances of these practices where we're fine-tuning our hearts to the things of God. And so the four practices are these. We discern through Scripture. We discern through the Holy Spirit. We discern through circumstances. And we discern in community. In other words, we get together and do wine tasting together. We do Scripture tasting together. That in community, we discern with our hearts what it is the Lord is saying to us. And when you put all four of these together, discerning becomes a way of life. It's a way of life that's able to see, to recognize, to discern the hand of God in all of your life. Like Jesus, to see the kingdom of God in all things. And to discern God's purposes at that moment, as opposed to the consumer self-interest that this world wants you to bring into every area of your life. Discernment is bringing the discernment of the kingdom of God to every day of your life. So today, we begin with the first etiquette, which is beginning with Scripture. And because we're going to talk about nuances today, because we're going to talk about the subtleties, we need to make a distinction between reading Scripture, which anyone can do, and discerning Scripture. So here's the distinction I want you to think about with me this morning. Reading Scripture, or the teaching of Scripture, has to do with the things that Scripture have to say to you and to me. In fact, they say it to everybody. The truth of Scripture are teachings that are for all of us. We all refer to the same Scripture as our guide for faith and practice. We know that it teaches us truth about God. We know that it gives us commands to obey. We know that the Scripture gives us promises that we can claim. And these are all eternal truths that have applied to every generation, and they're applicable today to anyone who opens the Scripture. The truth, the teachings of Scripture never change. The discerning of Scripture is different. The discerning of Scripture is what the Holy Spirit is saying to you from this particular Scripture in this particular moment, speaking to your individual heart. Discerning Scripture is not what it says to everyone. Discerning Scripture is what it says to you. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way, that the Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrow. And notice the word, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Two different things. Discerning your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. That's describing what the Scriptures will do to you when you practice discernment. Scripture will cut to your private thoughts. It will cut you to the heart and the intentions of your heart. So, what I want to do with you this morning is practice this together. That we'll read a Scripture together and we'll practice the difference between reading Scripture, the teaching of Scripture, And then secondly, the discernment of Scripture that's specifically for you. So the Scripture I've chosen this morning, you can do this with any Scripture, but I've chosen Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, one of these promises that has been dear to me. It says quite simply, keep this book of the law, keep the Scriptures, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So just take a look at the Scripture. Look at it carefully. It has a teaching, right? And it has a promise. So find the promise. Look at the Scripture. What's the promise that it makes? And now that promise is conditional on a teaching, right? Can you see the condition? Can you see what the teaching is? Now this is for everybody. Anyone who reads this Scripture is allowed to take this Scripture as truth, as teaching, as direction for their life. So let's deal with this first on the level of what it's teaching. So just let's give me some feedback here. What is the teaching that is for everyone? What is the teaching? What's the direction that we're given that anybody can follow this direction? There's a number of things in there. I'm sorry? To meditate on Scripture. That's one of them. What else? Do what's written in it. Excellent. There's one more. Speaking it. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So speak Scripture. It's always on your lips. So during the day, it's part of your conversations, which means, secondly, you're meditating on it during the day. And the third is you're actually doing what it says. So that's the teaching. That's for everybody. None of us is unique in that. This is an invitation of Scripture. And then the promise is really clear. Boy, if you do this, you're looking at a life that is prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful. What a wonderful teaching. So we have a teaching and we have a promise. And these are for everyone. This has been true since God spoke it to Joshua thousands of years ago. God's word does not change. These teachings and these promises endure even to us today. So how is discernment different from the teaching? Well, discernment is now paying attention to how this Scripture cuts through to your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Discernment is what the Holy Spirit is speaking from this Scripture at this moment, literally right now, about what you're thinking about this Scripture right now and the intentions of your heart, what you might do with this Scripture right now. So what we are individually experiencing right now is different. It's at a different level. So let me give you a few. These are hypothetical examples, okay? Hypothetical examples of what we might be discerning this morning. First of all, there might be someone that's facing a big decision in their life. And big decisions, as you know, they can affect you for years, for decades. And so you want God to prosper your life. You already experience the favor of God on your life because you're already, you know, you're not perfect, but you do reflect on Scripture regularly. You do have a heart to obey what it says. You are careful. But, you know, this is a big decision. And so for you today, this Scripture might be something that God uses to remind you that I've got this. I've got this decision. I will prosper you and make you successful in your life. And so that the word that the Spirit of God might say to this person could be peace, rest. It's okay. I've got this. Or a second hypothetical is maybe opposite to that first person. This is a person who might be lacking that prosperous life that God intended. And comes to realize that, you know, I haven't been living in the patterns of Scripture day by day. I haven't been careful to obey it. Now, I am a Christian, but I have also made decisions that are contrary to Scripture. I haven't been obeying. So the Holy Spirit could take this same verse and gently invite you back into the daily practice of Scripture and obedience. The thing that first drew you was your love for God and bringing you back into that. So the word for this person might be repentance. I am going to turn back to that which I knew. But it's not just your thoughts, it's also the intentions of your heart. So as the Spirit says to this person, I want you to reconsider your decisions. I want you to reconsider your lifestyle. And the thoughts going through your head are, I don't know if I want to do that. That the intentions of the heart might be to say, nope, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Well, then what the Spirit might say is, conviction, which is a little bit stronger than an invitation to repent. And so our experience of Scripture is different depending on how or what the Holy Spirit says to us. Or let me give you a third example. Maybe this teaching is new to you. To come to the realization that a prosperous and successful life is actually connected to how we engage with Scripture, and you're going, I've never seen it that clearly before. And that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, look at the life I have for you if you will be careful to obey. And so you're excited about the prospect of living your life in tune with Scripture under the blessing of God. And so the Spirit of God might be saying to you words of welcome and of hope. The Holy Spirit does these things. The same Scripture, the same teaching that never changes over generations, but the discernment cuts to your heart, to your thoughts, to the intentions that you have when the Spirit speaks to you. And so the Holy Spirit, right at this moment, is well aware of your thoughts right now. He's well aware of the intentions of your heart, whether there is an intention to draw into this verse or where there's an intention to pull back once again. And it is a sobering thought that when you are reading Scriptures, the Scriptures are reading you. They are living. They are active. They are penetrating. They are discerning, but they lead to life, to prosperity, and to success. And so your thoughts and the intentions of your heart, that is precisely where the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And God wants to do this for you every day. Every day you can open the Scriptures and meditate, which means slow down long enough to discern what would the Spirit say to me out of this particular passage of Scripture. You know, many people read the Scripture every day. And for some, quite frankly, it's a little bit like popping a vitamin. You just do it, don't think much about it, and hope that in the end of the day it will have done something good inside of you. Friends, that's not how Scripture works. You have to care. You have to care enough about Scripture to want to discern. Joshua says in this passage, be careful, take care to obey. And so be careful to discern. Taste the nuances. Develop the palate of your heart so that you can hear what the Lord is saying to you. This is discernment from Scripture. Now, I want to practice this method of discernment with you. And the reason I want to do it here is so that you can do this at home. My hope is that you can take a very simple tool home with you that takes you past the teachings of Scripture, the direct teachings, what it says, to the discernment of Scripture, what it says actually to you. So I want to do an exercise with you to help you with that. But before we do that, I want to recommend to you three books that that have been helpful for me, that I've been using as resources. And so let me just introduce these. The first one is by Ruth Haley Barton, a book called Sacred Rhythms. This book talks about the rhythms of being a wholehearted follower of Christ. So there's things like teachings on Sabbath. How do we Sabbath together? But there's teachings on Scripture. How do we read Scripture for discernment? So she talks about things like Lectio Divina, where you read Scripture in a certain way so that it's not about studying. It's about experiencing Scripture and allowing the Spirit to speak to you. And there's a passage, or sorry, one chapter, that's chapter 7 is on discernment. So this is an excellent resource. If you go to our website, at the very top of the banner, there's a button that says Wholehearted. If you click on that, you'll see Following, and now you'll see Discerning. And if you hit the Discerning button, which is what we're talking about, at the bottom, you'll see a list of these three books. And Carrie's actually put links on where you could buy them. So she's got a link to the House of James to buy this book. So that's the first one. Second one is also by Ruth Haley Barton, and it's called Invitation to Solitude and Silence. This is maybe not an entirely accurate description, but let me say it this way. In the first book, she devotes a chapter to discernment. The second book is entirely devoted to discernment. So there's a lot more there to process and to think about, and how solitude and how silence lend themselves to the practices of discernment. The third book is a book by Dallas Willard. It's called Hearing God. If you know Dallas Willard, he's a brilliant theologian, so this is packed with Scripture and teaching about discernment. How does it work? And Ruth Haley Barton is much more experiential, how to enter into it, and Dallas Willard is much more comprehensive in his teaching. But they're excellent resources, and then I would recommend that you actually begin with Sacred Rhythms. And you'll begin, as I did at that wine tasting, to develop a very simple, basic palette. Where do you start? And then from there, you can grow, as I hope that you will. But for now, let's see if we can make this as practical as possible. And what I want to do with you now is practice the difference between the teaching and the discernment. So I'm going to take us back to Joshua 1:8. This is where we started. Let's go back to Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate it on day and night, that you may be careful to do all according to all that's written in it, and then we have the promise that comes in it. So we've already asked, what does it teach? What does it teach us, and what's the promise? We've already done that. We're clear on that. And the teaching is good, okay? So I never want us to bypass the teaching, but neither should we neglect the discernment that comes after. So we've got the teaching part, but the gold of Scripture is in the discerning. How does it apply to you? So we want to learn to ask questions of Scripture that go beyond the direct teaching and move us into this practice of discerning. So here's some questions that we want to ask of this passage. Now that we've done the teaching, here's the question: what does it teach us about God? Okay. Now, notice that this question is different than what does it teach us? We've already asked that question. The direct teaching is speak Scripture, meditate on Scripture, be careful to obey Scripture. That's the direct teaching. But what does that teaching teach us about God? What does it say about God that He would put these as the three things that He would want Joshua to do in order to be a good leader? what does it say about God? And you start exploring that idea, and it takes you into a new depth of understanding. The second is, what does it teach us about people? So we know what it says to people. The teaching to people is do these things and to do them carefully. That's what it says. What does it say about people that God would feel like he has to say this? That God would feel he has to give us this warning to be careful about this. And so in the scripture, there is the direct teaching, meditate on scripture, speak scripture, be careful to obey. And then there's the implied teaching. Why would God say this? What is he getting at? What is it what does it say about God? And then what does it say about us? And then from those two, you're already halfway to the third question, which is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? Because the things you start thinking about who God is and who people are, that opens the door for the Spirit to say, okay, now I want to say something directly to you. And friends, you can do this at home. Many of you will recognize that these are actually the three questions of the Discovery Bible Study Method that we've practiced before, and I want to encourage you to practice these things. You can do it with any passage of Scripture, so whatever you're doing in your daily Bible reading, add these three questions. Now that I know what it teaches, what does it say about God? What does it say about people, and what might the Spirit be teaching to me to articulate these things? So here's what I want to do with us this morning, just for a few minutes. I want to practice the difference between the direct teaching and the implied teaching. Okay, so we're going to practice this. We already said what the direct teaching is. So your question this morning is, what is the implied teaching? So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to break into groups, then we're going to come back and just give some feedback. But a couple of minutes to answer the question, what does it teach us about God that he would say these three things about Scripture? What does it teach us about people that God would want us to actually be careful? Okay, so those are the two questions, and we won't worry about the Holy Spirit this morning. What a thing to say in church. Because that's your discernment, right? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. And those, this is where it gets to the thoughts, the deep things. We'll let the Holy Spirit take you there. But the first two things we can ask. So, just a couple of minutes. What does it teach about God? What does it teach about people? And then we'll come back and just kind of brainstorm some of these things in just a few minutes. Take a couple of minutes. All right, here's some great discussion going on out there. I'm going to ask Nick and his team to come up and prepare while we debrief this just a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what we're learning about God through this passage of Scripture. So the question is not what does the Scripture teach. The question is what's implied by what the Scripture teaches. What does it teach us about God? So I'd love to hear some of your thoughts about what this teaches us about God. God is invested in his people. Yeah, great. What else? Well, what a great truth, eh? God actually wants you to be prosperous and successful. That's his desire for you. What else? Yes, he wants us to learn more about him, to study the Scripture, to actually get to know him. The greatest command in Scripture is that we love God. Well, how do we do that? By learning about him in the Scriptures. Something over here I missed.
It said he has a plan for you.
He has a plan for you to be prosperous and successful. Excellent. What else? Sorry? He's given us law. So why does he do this? Because he loves us. He wants us to be prosperous. Okay? What does it say about people? This is interesting. What does it say about us as people that God would... We're forgetful. Absolutely. That's putting it kindly, isn't it? What else? Sorry. We are easily distracted. Yeah. Yeah. In a hurry. Yes. That word to be careful, I sometimes think it's, you know, I'm doing a craft or I'm doing something, and I really have to be careful because I don't want to wreck it. Okay, so it's about an outcome. That's one kind of being careful. The other kind is, this really means a lot to me. And the word in Scripture is to take care, to care about it, because it means something to us. Anything else? Any other? Yes, Anne-Marie. So Anne-Marie was talking about taking time to actually spend time with God, to acknowledge what He's doing to us, how He's answering our prayers, to take care to be that kind of person with God. All right, some good insights. So there's the direct teaching, and then there's the indirect teaching, and then, I'm not going to ask you to respond to this, what is the Holy Spirit actually saying to you this morning? And that's where the gold is. What's He actually saying to you about how He loves you, He wants to prosper you, about taking care to actually spend time with Him and not just pop a vitamin in the morning? What is He saying to you? That's where the gold of Scripture is, and that's where discernment of Scripture comes in. Let me pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word, that it is living, and that as we read Scripture, it reads us. Help us to be people that open our thoughts and our hearts to You, that we would be read, that we would be discerning of the things that You would say to us out of Your Scriptures. And we know that You do this because You want us to be prosperous and successful. Thank You for this promise of Scripture. Amen. And the Scriptures have discerned us. And then it says the Scriptures also cut to the intentions of our heart. So what is the intention of your heart with regard to what you have discerned today? Take a moment and just make that statement to the Lord, the intention of your heart in regard to what He spoke to you this morning. We are God's kingdom people. May we discern His kingdom in all the circumstances of our life, and may the intentions of our hearts align with His. Amen.